to the Stephen A. Smith Show on Mad Dog Sports Radio.
37 minutes
past hour number one back here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM. I don't need, listen, the brother don't need any introduction, but I'm going to give it to him anyway, okay, because we go way back. He was the number one overall pick in 1996 NBA draft. He's a league MVP, a rookie of the year, an 11-time All-Star, a Hall of Famer. His new memoir, Misunderstood, is out today, and I'm happy to welcome in the house the answer himself, the one and only Allen Iverson. What's up, Cat Daddy? That's what he always calls. What's up, baby? How you doing?
I ain't making no noise.
I mean, first of all, it's good to see you. I miss you. I love you. You know that.
Love you, man.
Why now? Why this book? Why now?
Probably the way I think about it is, you know, the questions I've been getting is why not sooner? Mm-hmm. It took a minute. Mm-hmm. It took a minute. And me and my guy Ray, it was important for us to make sure that this was the most authentic as possible. We tried to make sure we wanted everything in there for the readers to kind of get a grip on who I really am. It's different than you reading it. Because damn near 99.9% of the things you already know. You know me as a person. Everybody else get sound bites, and you might catch me on a bad day after we lost the game. I'm happy after we win. So it's different emotions, you know what I mean? Over the years, you've seen different interviews at certain times, and everybody have their own opinion. Even my fans that love me to death. But they don't actually know me. They know what they see from afar. So we wanted to make sure that we got it right, or as best we could.
I've seen things written about you. I've actually wrote a lot of things about you. I've seen documentaries done on you. I've seen you commenting about it, the whole bit. But when people were given the impression about, all right, this is the authentic Allen Iverson, courtesy Simon & Schuster, print 13A, my man Charles Soup, one of the best in the business. He's sitting right here in the studio with us. Helped make me a bestseller. So I got nothing but love for him. When they said that about you in terms of this impression that you were going to be more authentic, it took me aback because I'm like, I've never known you to be anything but authentic. That's so right. I'm like, what's going to be new about this?
I think it's the things that you just don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I think I have conversations with Tawana, right?
Yep.
Been with her 35 years. One thing she always tell me is, why do you let so many different things bother you? You know what I mean? Why do you care what people say? And this, that, and the third. You know what I mean? Because I guess she got thick skin or whatever. And a lot of times when it's someone else, they feel the way they feel. You only can feel the way you feel. You know what I mean? And she would say, you know, those type of things to me. And I would say to her, you know, you're able to deal with stress better than me. That's a gift that you have. Certain people are like that. A lot of things don't bother people. You know what I mean? You come off, for me, knowing you to the world as, I don't give a damn what you think. You know what I mean? I'm going to speak my mind, and that's that. And you're fine with that. Right. That makes Stephen A. Stephen A. You know what I mean? You feel good about how you feel about something, and as long as you're not hurting anybody, you speak on it.
Right.
With me, I feel like another gift that I have besides, you know, obviously what I did athletically is being an open book. Obviously, you know, you think about the practice ran or some different things you hear, you know, in a turbulent life.
Right.
You are not proud of a lot of things. Some things are embarrassing. But I think with me, my gift is to share my story, the good and the bad, with people, and people, you know, when they look at us, they always feel like we're supposed to be role models to kids. I have so many adults, people that's way older than me, talk about how I inspire them, how I save their life in different ways, as far as them, you know, implementing things, my values into their life, mm-hmm. and it's helping them, you know, go through life, navigate, you know, yeah. through this rough-ass world that we live in. Mm-hmm. And I think, like, my gift is what I have to offer people, whether it's things that I've accomplished in a good way or the mistakes and the decisions that I've made in my life. And I think that's what excited me the most mm-hmm. about this book. It talks about the journey that I went on to become who I ultimately became. Mm-hmm. But you see the things that I went through mm-hmm. and you see where I could have easily given up and not believe in my dream. And how I fell down and got back up, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? And continue, in your words, on the documentary,
yeah.
he's still standing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
well, I tell you this much. Before I even ask my next question, I want to take a moment to give a shout out to Tawana. You know, I'm not going to, listen, I covered you when you were starring for the Philadelphia 76ers, first 10 years of your career. You know, to me, she's one of the greatest ladies I've ever seen, I've ever known in my life. And the very first interview that I ever did when I had my own show, quite frankly, was you, who came in at the last minute and sat down with me to get my career started. And I've often said, I'm going to say this right here on my show, I personally don't believe that the success that I've been blessed enough to enjoy would have ever happened if it were not for you. I've always said that to everybody. I'm going to tell you right to your face right now, I owe you the world. You will always be my little brother.
My man.
Having said that, I look at Tawana and I remember on that very show, quite frankly, when you said, I die for her, I die without her. I want to know what level of inspiration she's had with this memoir compared to the inspiration she had while you were playing, while you were going through all the things that you were going through. What's the difference now? What's the lens that you look at her through now compared to what it was then?
She had to be extremely strong then, but I'm around a lot more now. I'm right. around a lot more
right,
now.
Right.
Steve, I'm 50 years old. A lot of the things that I did then, I mean, I couldn't, it's, I'll give you an example. 6 months ago, I stopped drinking. Mm-hmm. And the best feeling in the world. But I'm still around family members, mm-hmm. and I'm still around friends.
Right. And they ain't going to stop drinking. They're going right. to do what they want to do.
Right. right. You know what I mean? And, you know, and I'm not talking bad about any of these sure. people, because I love these people.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's an embarrassing feeling to, you know, witness that, you know what I mean? When I used to be a part of the party, I was the life of the party.
Right.
You know what I mean? And, you know, I get embarrassed mm. when I say, damn,
you
know,
that's
that
how
used
you
to be me.
Right.
You understand? And she dealt with that for 35 years. Mm. You know what I mean? And for her to be that strong and to the love for me, Steve, to put up with that, man, and everything outside of just that, turning into somebody that you're not, mm-hmm. being a person that she couldn't recognize. Mm-hmm. It was a lot, man.
Is that why you stopped drinking?
No, I started to evaluate my maturation level, you know what I mean, where I should be at 50 years old, being the how, you know, for me, I know I'm the smartest man in the world because I know I'm not. But I feel like a lot of decisions that I made, things should be different mm-hmm. than they are. I'm not saying that I'm not satisfied and I'm not happy and content. Well, I'm not content with where I'm at, but I think a lot of things would be better. A lot of personal things would be better if you know, if I took that out of my life. And, man, I just feel like, you know, I squandered opportunities, you know what I mean? I just small things like meetings, you know what I mean? Zoom calls.
Wardrobe. Remember that biggest time I bring up the wardrobe?
I ain't going there.
Yes, you are. We are going there.
Steve, I dress up now.
I know, that's what I'm saying. Do you remember the greatest reaction you ever saw from me was when y'all were playing Orlando in the postseason? And you had on a black pinstripe suit.
Do you remember how I was a fish out of water at that point?
Yeah.
To the point of we were in Orlando.
Right.
And it was 95 degrees.
That's right.
And the suit was Versace, but it was wool.
I know. You remember that? But you still look so smooth.
I didn't feel smooth.
I mean, it was good. You did good, man. We're talking to the one and only Allen Iverson right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. What about the love from the NBA community? It's amazing how you knocked on the door of a championship. Kobe and Shaq approaching, Shaq in his prime, Kobe approaching his prime, stood in y'all way. Only thing that prevented you from winning the championship. But the love and the adulation you receive to this day from the NBA community is undeniable. You talk about the love from Tawana, and obviously that's a different kind of love. But I want to know how you feel about the NBA and how it embraces you to this very day as the ultimate warrior.
I think the honor in that is just embracing me for what I gave to the game, everything that I gave to the game by, you know, playing every game like it was my last, you know, feeling like if I went 0 for Winfrey from the field, you know what I mean? I could look in the mirror after the game is over and smile, feel good about myself because I know I gave the effort. I played as hard as I could that night. You know what I mean? I always felt I played harder than everybody on the basketball court every single night.
Right.
You know, whether I was sick, whether I was hurt, or anything going on in my personal life, for those 2 hours, I gave everything I had. And then for the NBA to show love to me, you know, the players, Adam Silver, you know, everyone, David Stern, may rest in peace. Everybody that had an input of giving me my flowers, it's just a blessing, man, and I love it.
I'm looking at numbers right here. That's why I'm flicking on my phone. You know how I roll. And I'm looking at your career average, 26.7 points a game, 6.2 assists, 2.2 steals per game, one of only three players in NBA history to average 25 points and 2 steals over a career of at least 500 games. You, Jerry West, and Michael Jordan are the only three people who ever did that in NBA history. You're the third leading scorer in NBA postseason history at 29.7. Only Michael Jordan and Luka Doncic have averaged more. Averaged 35.6 points per game in the Sixers NBA Finals loss to the Lakers in 2001. You talk about all the great things that you did as a player away from the actual game, whether it's practice or something else. What regrets do you have about what you didn't do?
Only one in my career. I didn't buy, for whatever reason, maybe it was immaturity. That's the only thing I could think of. I didn't buy what Coach Brown was selling in the beginning.
Larry Brown.
Yeah, definitely. That's the only thing I regret in my career, because you could see the pendulum swinging from the time I got into the league and from the time he came, and once I bought into it, how my career changed. You know, I had all the athletic ability in the world. I could do everything. I was faster than everybody on the basketball court. I could jump high. But I always use the John Stockton analogy. Steve Nash. You know what I mean? They thought the game. John Stockton didn't have to be fast. He didn't have to be quick. He didn't have to jump high. Mm-hmm. He didn't have to be flashy. He just got it done at the highest level. And once I, you know, implemented that into my game and started to, you know, think the game instead of just running around fast all the time, I always think about that story with KJ.
Right.
When KJ destroyed me, that was the first time I got destroyed on a basketball court. I was a rookie. And then it wasn't speed. It was backdooring me. He was just outthinking me on the court. And I remember being in the locker room crying after the game because I never got destroyed like that. And I remember, you know, Mo Cheeks coming up to me and said, you know, don't worry about it, AI. You know, one day you'll get somebody 36-9-9. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I just, once I learned that from Coach Brown and started to, you know, just listen to him and realize that he wanted the same thing that I wanted. Mm-hmm. It was all the same goal. You know what I mean? And that's when everything changed for me.
If you had brought in to what Larry Brown was selling, what would Allen Iverson be as a basketball player legacy-wise compared to what he is?
It wasn't that long before I bought in. You know what I mean? I wouldn't have been, I mean, when I look at top 75 all time, I mean, that speaks for itself. And a lot of dudes that play this game. You know what I mean? And I was told I was too small. I was told that I couldn't play in the NBA with my style of play. And I just think that, you know, I was, you know, reckless in the beginning and still was the rookie of the year, you know what I mean, with not knowing how to play on the NBA level. You know, I just felt that it was such a mismatch for me because you had to play me one-on-one. And then four scoring titles later, all of a sudden, then the zones come back into the league.
Right.
But once he taught me how to think the game, that's when I became who I ultimately became. So I would be, I think, the same.
You've taken a lot of hits because of practice. We talk about practice. And I remember it was shortly after you lost Ra, your boy. Ah, boy, you know how much I love him. The one time you and I weren't talking, he was the one that got us back together.
That's right.
I mean, I miss him so much. He was such a good brother. I'm thinking about that right now because I'm wondering, when you talk about your experiences and what you've endured, do you feel, considering the title of this book, Misunderstood, do you feel that that was one of the most misunderstood moments of your career?
No question. No question. Especially in my career. You know what I mean? Aside from, you know, things like my tattoos, the cornrows, the, you know, the way I dress, besides that, yeah, for sure. You know what I mean? Like, and people really don't understand. All they thought of, you know, I really got the perception of me just not liking practice. And in all actuality, it was just, you remember all that summer that was talking about trading me.
That's right.
The whole summer. You even broke it down a million times about Matt Geiger and trade kicking all. I remember you talking about that a lot.
Yep.
Stuff that I didn't know.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they called me in one day, and basically they was like, you're not going anywhere. And I was so happy, man. I could tell my kids, Tawana, I could tell, you know, my family and friends.
It took them long enough to tell you that, though, but that's a different story.
It did.
It took them a while.
It did.
It took them a while.
It did.
That's right.
It did. But when they finally did, I was just so happy. I was relieved. So I go in there, and I'm thinking, I'm just getting ready to tell the world that I'm, you know, I'm not going anywhere. And they kept asking me about practice. And I just, you know, I lost it. And then, Steve, you know, they have beat writers.
Yeah.
And
I was one of them.
Yeah, but see,
I didn't write that stuff, though. But go
right,
ahead.
But me and you, see, the hardest thing, like one of the hardest things with you, it was you had a job, and then I looked at you as big bro.
Right.
You know what I mean? So it was difficult for a while for me until I understood, like, you know, these guys, Steve is rare with y'all relationship. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not usually. I used to always, I looked up to Michael Jordan so much. Like, he's really Black Jesus to me. You know what I mean? And I just looked at, I kind of looked at us as a, because I looked up to him so much as a small version, a smaller version of himself and Ahmad Rashad.
Right.
That's how I kind of looked at it. You know what I mean? And, you know, it was one of those beat writers that just, you know, some days you aim because they want their, right. What do you call it? They wanted their story, their headline. Not that is
breaking news.
No, man. Exclusive.
Yeah, right.
They wanted it, you know, they want exclusives. I talked to everybody, but I want you to. And then, you know, one of the guys I probably, not right now.
Right.
And then, okay, well, I come in here and he getting ready to do this press conference. He think everything getting ready to be peaches and cream.
It wasn't me.
Yeah.
I didn't do that. No, definitely. I know who it was. I knew who it was.
Man, and I was like, and I knew what it was. Yeah. And I just lost it. And it was taken all out of context. So now, this many years later, people see me in the streets. All the things I accomplished in my life and in my career, somebody say, hey, you're talking about practice.
That's right. Like, right. Hey, listen, they can mock you all they want to, but at the end of the day, you went out on the court and you dropped 30 or 40 on somebody in a heartbeat.
You remember when you just asked me, you said, how would it have been if I would have listened to him early?
Right.
So just imagine how my game would have been if I accomplished all the things that I accomplished and I didn't practice. That's right. Did all that without practice.
That's right.
So you know I had to practice.
Of course,
man.
You did. So. Of course you did. Definitely, I want to talk more about this book as we continue to move forward. But I want to get to the subject of small guards in the NBA real quick before I let you on out of here. You had Nate Tiny Archibald. You had Calvin Murphy. The great Isaiah Thomas. Chris Paul, CP3. Mm-hmm. John Stockton. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. Where does Allen Iverson believe he fits into that equation?
Steve, okay. Now, this is important.
Sure.
You just named five guys, right?
Yep.
You counting. You named five.
That's right.
All right. Two of them are 6'2". John Stockton and Zeke.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So when you're saying small guards, what's small? Because you can call Russell Westbrook a small guard.
I don't think so. 6'4". I'm thinking 6'2" and lower.
6'4".
I'm thinking 6'2" and lower. That's
Steph 6'3". Okay. They put Steph in the conversation.
Yeah, that
I'm just right. I'm just because I love the debate. I love it.
Okay.
I love wherever you put me at. You know what I mean? I'm a basketball head. Mm-hmm. So wherever you put me at is an honor. If you just say my name, you mention my name as the best in the world, it's an honor to me. You know what I mean? So I don't get into where you rank me or anything like that. To me, if I'm ever on the basketball court with anybody, I feel like I'm the best player out there. Mm-hmm. I've been on the court with 23.
Right.
I've been on the court with the greatest that ever played the game.
Right.
But my whole thought was, I know he's out here, but when the people leave, they're going to know who number three is.
You are a warrior. Who most reminds you of you mentally on the basketball court? Who's that person?
Mentally.
It's a tough question because it takes a lot to measure up to you.
I can name off a lot of guys. I mean,
that remind you of you as a warrior?
That went hard.
Okay.
Hard.
Like, I'm listening.
But a lot of guys that go hard is not in that, you don't see it like that. You know what I mean?
I'm talking about a level of productivity, too. It could be a lot of guys that go hard and they putting up 10 points a game. We ain't talk about that.
Russ went hard.
Right.
Like, Russ play every game like it's his last. Right. You can tell.
Right.
The energy level is always the same. It's not a nonchalant aspect of his game. Mm. Everything is full effort. And that's not taken away from anybody else because I love so many guys. The league is in great hands. Like, everybody got the way they nitpick at certain things that guys, a lot of things that a lot of these guys do, I wouldn't think about doing. To each his own. Load management.
Yep, right.
Like, can you imagine somebody telling me, are we going to rest you tonight? What do you mean, rest me? It's a game.
Or you coming into the season and going like this, I got 82 games. Count on me missing 20.
No. I'm not. I'm not cut from that type of cloth. I'm not built like that. To each his own. Now I'm not knocking anybody, and I'm not knocking any organization for, you know, the way they get down. But I just can't imagine you telling me, like, you're not playing tonight, we're going to rest you. And I'm like, what do you mean? You want to bring up the word practice? Shit, rest me tomorrow at practice.
Right.
You know what I mean? Don't rest me when we got a game. And then I always used to think about this, Steve, throughout my career. Even when I was hurt, like, damn, I used to be, you know, obviously I couldn't be in the foxhole with my guys, but I used to always think, like, somebody, it might be that kid or that person's only opportunity to see me get down, I'm not playing.
We saw LeBron join D-Wade and Bosh in Miami. We saw KD join Steph and Klay in Golden State. We've seen others try to emulate and duplicate such things. First of all, if you could have, would you have done the same thing? And number two, if you had a super team to pick, meaning a couple of dudes to play alongside Allen Iverson in pursuit of a chip, who would you have picked?
Now? This plan now?
Sure.
First of all, I would never, I know people going to think I'm full of shit, but it's the truth. I mean, I would love to play with Shaq. I would love to play with Shaq.
Diesel.
I would definitely. I would. That would be my dream, to play with Shaq. But I always felt like I was on a super team, Steve. And this is why. I'm on the court with four other pros. They pros. I've never played with pros before. I played with guys, you know what I mean, that ultimately made it to the pros. Jerome Williams made it to the pros.
Right. But you know, there's levels to this. You know that.
I understand.
Right.
But for me, you know what I mean? My whole thing was me. You know what I mean? One of the biggest compliments that I've ever had from my teammates, or one of the biggest compliments, period, in my basketball career, was the fact that we all feel that if we got the guy 6 feet, 165 pounds with us tonight, we can beat anybody. That was enough for me right there. To answer your question, obviously Shaq, I would love to play with a healthy Embiid. I would love to play with Joker.
Damn, you ain't pick a guard.
I'm getting ready to.
I'm waiting. Go ahead and be Jokic, Shaq. Got that part. What about the guard?
Luka.
Really? I don't see that.
Straight killer.
He is a killer, but he hold on to the ball. How you going to get the ball? That's all
right. I know what to do with it when I get it. I'm going to touch it.
Man,
I'm not using that. I'm not using that excuse. You put me on the court with that serial killer.
Right.
You got problems.
I want you to trust me to tell this story about Larry Brown complaining about you. Philadelphia College of Osteopathic Medicine. You were injured. It was a practice. I'm looking at my man Charles Suit. Hilarious, hilarious story. I got to share it with everybody right now. So Larry Brown is complaining because he's like, he's got to play the right way. He's got to pass the ball. He's got to get it up. AI is injured. You're not playing it. And this has never happened before. So usually it's some off-the-record conversation going on. Allen Iverson turns to me and says, turn on the tape recorder. Turn on. I don't know if you remember this. And he said, yo, it's 24 seconds on the shot clock, right? I'm going to see if you start remembering it. He said, it's going to take about 8 seconds to cross half court, right? So that give us about 16 seconds. He said, I get a ball to, you know, the blue, Aaron McKee. He said, he get a ball to George Lynch. George give it to Tyrone Hill. Give it to Dikembe. You get it back to me. It's about 5 seconds left on the clock. Evidently, you didn't want to do anything with it. What the hell you want me to do? Am I lying? That's what you told me.
Never heard you tell a lie when it had anything to do with me.
Let me tell you something. I turned off the tape recorder, walked away from the interview, cracking up laughing. Because you know I put it in the
I'm going to run the play. I'm going to run the play.
Right.
But if the ball come back to me,
that's right.
If it get back to me,
right.
The play is not for me.
Right.
But we running the play and it come back to me, I'm definitely looking to get to that orange circle.
No doubt. Two more questions before I let you get on out of here. One is about something else, and another is to close out this question about your book entitled Misunderstood. If Shaq wasn't there to help Kobe, are you a champion?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We ran into a juggernaut. We ran into a squad that hadn't lost a game in the playoffs. Yeah. And if we wouldn't have won game one, then they would have went down in history, arguably, as the best team ever.
Yeah, when you dropped 48 in game one, stepped over Ty Lue, everybody remember. That was a special moment.
I hate that.
That was a special moment. Why you hate that?
Because I love him.
Yeah, he love it too. He said you made him famous. He ain't mad about it.
I
remember that game, obviously, because it was the finals with y'all, but it was the first time I met Denzel Washington.
Wow.
And Denzel rolled over on me, put his arms around me as I was walking into the tunnel to go back to the media room. And he walked up to me to put his arm around me. He said, how much we got to worry about? I mean, I know he's AI, but how much we got to worry about? He was that worried. And I said, you have nothing to worry about because you got Shaq.
But look, Steve, that wasn't a super team. I mean, them was just a bunch of dogs.
Yeah.
Truly a dog. True. One killer. Mm-hmm. And a bunch of dogs, you know what I mean? And everything, my deficiencies, everything that I couldn't do mm-hmm. on the basketball court at a high level,
yep.
They made up for it. I might have led the league in steals plenty of years, but it was always Dikembe right behind me making me look good. It was always Theo Ratliff back there.
They knew what your role is, and the greatest part about that team is everybody knew their job description.
Absolutely.
And everybody followed their role. Eric Snow, Aaron McKee, George Lynch, Tyrone Hill, Dikembe. You had let go of Theo Ratliff in the middle of the season.
George.
And brought in Dikembe. Oh, Lord. I mean, you had some dogs, no question about it. Last question to you. As we talk about this book, what do you believe or what do you hope people are going to learn from Misunderstood, the memoir about Allen Iverson?
I'm Allen Iverson that's known globally, all over the world. There's no place I can't go to where they don't recognize who I am. But I'm no different from you. Just like you. Just like you. Have good days, bad days, have ups and downs. Just like you, make bad decisions sometimes, make good decisions sometimes, make mistakes just like you, cry like you, bleed like you, emotional like you, just like you. But with Allen Iverson, what I'm going to do every single day, I'm going to live, I'm going to laugh, I'm going to love.
And you're going to have love too because you know I love you.
Love you
know,
back.
A whole bunch of people love you, man. I'm happy for you. I'm proud of you. You look great. You understand? Right. You ain't been drinking for the last 6 months.
For sure.
Lord have mercy. You're looking good, man. You're looking good.
Hopefully you got another 50 in me.
That's right. Hopefully, man. You know, I still want to see you in your suit game. You know, I can help you out with that.
Man, Steve, everybody thinks, like I told you, I'm always taking up for you when you ain't around. I just... right. I'm not going to tolerate it. And that's anybody that I love. But you've been like this forever, ever since I met you. You and Aaron McKee, you come in the locker room and both of y'all used to do this same thing you do now on the show. You know what I mean? Talk about y'all dress code.
That's right.
Both of y'all talk about y'all suits. You always got on me. I remember you telling me, what you going to wear to the Hall of Fame?
That's right.
No, you're not going to wear a suit. No, I said, Steve, I bet you I'm going to wear a suit. You're not going to wear a suit. I said, all right. And I'm telling you, man, I like it now. My fresh goes, it goes a long way. You know what I mean? I'm Tawana like when I put on clothes,
that's
man.
Right. You know, that's what counts most right now.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
You know that's what counts most right now. When you're 50, that's what counts most. You understand that,
it
right?
always mattered to me.
I know that. But it's elevated now.
For sure.
It's elevated now. Sure. I don't know. I'm going to end the interview by saying this because I know he's watching. Aaron McKee's watching somewhere, right?
Yeah.
You know they said I got him beat now with my suit game, right? I got him now. I got him now. Blue was smooth as hell. He still is.
Still is.
He still is.
Still
but
is.
But he didn't diversify the portfolio. Everything was blue. I've diversified. So I got him.
Yeah, you don't play. I call you out there as soon as I see you, because I'm right at it. 10 o'clock in the morning. My show is on.
That's right.
And then if I'm out the crib, I'm calling before I leave out of there. 10 o'clock. I'm recording that thing, or I call if I forget. Tawana, channel 300. Hit it. 10 o'clock. You know what it is, and you know what I mean. I love it. It's my favorite show.
Love you. Love the family. Give moms my love, please. Tawana, you know I love you. All the best to you. I'll see you soon.
All right, baby.
The answer, the one and only, Allen Iverson. Misunderstood, the memoir of Allen Iverson, courtesy Simon & Schuster, print 13A, courtesy of Mr. Charles Soot, best in the business. This is the Stephen A. Smith Show, Sirius XM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.